This is fun! The FU Network!
Originating from Fun, the FU Network's base north of Toronto, and bringing in voices from coast to coast, this is FU Politics Discussion and Debate Show, The No Bullpen. The rules are simple. Nobody pulls any punches intellectually, but our panelists have to be civil, respectful, and maintain a sense of humor. I'm Stephen Kersner. Today, well, we're talking about what the rest of Canada is talking about, the photos which surfaced from almost two decades ago showing Liberal leader Justin Trudeau wearing dark face makeup while playing Aladdin at an Arabian Nights-themed event at the school where he was a teacher. And Mr. Trudeau has admitted to donning blackface earlier than that in a high school video version of Harry Belafonte's Banana Boat song. Once the photos were made public by Time magazine, Mr. Trudeau apologized unequivocally, owned the bad judgment he had back then, and apologized for participating in something so racist. Since then, the reactions to the photos and apologies have been in keeping with the tenor of this election campaign, mostly divided along party lines. Conservatives say the 2001 image and older video prove Justin Trudeau lacks the judgment to be prime minister and that he is a fake, his embrace of diversity an obvious sham for votes. Liberals seem to agree that the images of Justin Trudeau in dark makeup are disturbing and disappointing, but point beyond Mr. Trudeau's apology to his record of supporting immigration and refugees and enacting policies that aim to benefit people of color, and say his actions alone prove he isn't a racist. There are many issues tied in a Gordian knot with this news story. We're going to try to get to as many aspects of the issue as we can while you Google Gordian knot. To be clear, nobody on this podcast nor the network denies that what Mr. Trudeau did in 2001 and earlier is racist by today's standards. So if at any point you think that our exploring this Pandora's box of issues raised by the Time magazine photo is in any way an attempt to justify Mr. Trudeau's self-admitted racist acts, you have misheard or misunderstood the point in question. Joining us today, we have a star-studded panel. We've got Leanna Kersner, who the last name is not a coincidence. She's my wife. Also a commentator on political and social events. Women's issues. So that's... I hate saying women's issues. Women issues of concern to women. Social issues, and of course, video games. Also joining us, Justine Gallo. Justine, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
Well, I'm from the Vancouver area. I grew up here most of my life, and I am a teacher on call as well, and I work at public transit. I've been a lifetime political junkie, and recently just kind of joined our writing committee here in Burnaby South.
Okay, great. And we have with us Noor Hadidi, who I'm reading from an article here from CBC, worked as a financial analyst before making the jump to comedy. Now she skewers Islamophobia in between material about yoga and superheroes, which is, you're right up our alley, Noor.
thank you for
joining us. And Noor is continuing the tradition that comedy has had for generations, which is breaking down conversations, talking about difficult issues in a way that doesn't seem confrontational and allows us to question some of our preconceived notions. All right. I don't know where Hafiz Noorani is. He's supposed to be joining us from Vancouver, but when he gets here, he gets here. But I expect that he will get here. Okay. Topic number one, what do these images say to you about our prime minister? I'm going to go first to Noor.
First, that he really wanted to be part of the Aladdin remake, but this was his only shot. So first, but no, I think looking at the images, it just speaks to the privileged life that he's led. You know, he's obviously been in social circles with wealthy people who, used to do brown and blackface and didn't see the problem with that. And that comes as a result of the life he's led. Whether he is racist or not now, like, I don't know, but I just know that those images are not okay. I don't remember any time it was okay to have brown or black face on. And that's how I feel about it.
Okay. Justine Gallo, your feelings. What do these images make you feel or think about our prime minister?
Well, first of all, I'm not happy about them. I mean, it's never right. And it wasn't right when it first started back, you know, in the early 1900s or even before that. It's still not right. But I look at it as someone who has evolved. I mean, to me, he's been a champion of, you know, for immigrants, people of color in Canada, somebody like me. And we've all done really dumb things in the past, and social media wasn't there for many of us to have it exposed. And it is now. But I think it's something that it kind of shows of where we have grown as a society, and even for him as a person.
Okay. Leanna, your thoughts.
I think touching on what Noor said, this goes back to the thing I said, you know, a while back in another episode, that this is an example of how privilege is not an advantage. It actually weakens you in a lot of understanding. You know, I graduated high school in 1995. I went to an extremely multicultural high school. This stuff didn't happen in assemblies and parties. Now, part of the reason it didn't happen in parties, because in the Jane Finch area, we couldn't afford elaborate themed parties like hoity-toity private schools.
I think also, but though, if I could interrupt.
Why are you cutting me off?
You can give me hell later, but I think one of the reasons
I want to give you hell now.
That you didn't see a lot of blackface going on in the community we were raised in is the majority of people were black.
Okay, it was a real division because, you know, all black cultures are not the same. There were divisions between, you know, Afro-Caribbean people and then the newly arrived immigrants from Somalia, right? We had Indian people in our schools. We had Pakistani people in our schools. We had Persian people in our schools. We had people newly refugees from Afghanistan. During you know, the Russian war in Afghanistan, as opposed to the American war in Afghanistan, we actually had brown people in our school. But Hafiz is here. Wow, that was awkward. We had brown people, and Hafiz shows up.
That's right.
I am just not going to be able to get a thought out this podcast. Okay. I keep getting interrupted by dudes.
I'm kind of like the genie, you know, you rub the lamp, I show up.
Whoa!
No, you're not. No, Hafiz, you're not like the genie, because we rubbed the lamp when we started the show and you weren't here.
Hey, so, I'm sorry that your lamp delivery guy told me 4:30 instead of 4.
Okay, all right.
So that's
please go on, Leanna. Your thoughts about how these images make you feel about the Prime Minister.
I tried to engage my critical thinking, because the photos were so stupid that it was like no one in their right mind would make themselves that dark to play Aladdin. So I assume because it was black and white photo, it had to be like blue makeup and he was playing the genie. It was just so ridiculous. And then when they confirmed, no, from the time he was in high school, his teachers and school administrators were letting him do this nonsense in school assemblies. This just points to the systemic issues that Noor pointed in. Unfortunately, these kids that are raised in privilege take a long time to know it's wrong. And then they're so embarrassed about it when they find out it's wrong, they end up overcompensating, and we get the people kind Justin Trudeau that I always thought was something of a crock to begin with. If one good thing comes out of this, other than the national discussion about, you know, a more nuanced mosaic discussion of race and racism that isn't just a black or white issue and isn't just, you know, an indigenous and, you know, colonizer issue. It's more different people experience racism in different ways. And it's no easier for, you know, so-called quote unquote model minorities than it is for people with like negative stereotypes. When I was in school, I watched black kids make fun of the way Chinese kids talked. I watched people of all kinds make fun of the way Pakistani kids had an accent. It's real. It went on. It goes on until this day. Kids are cruel. And if teachers, and I'm sure, you know, Justine, I think it's interesting that you're a teacher in the area where Trudeau taught. If teachers don't intervene, kids aren't necessarily getting a lesson of, this isn't okay at home. They might not even be doing it around their parents, because kids are little idiots in high school. As far as I'm concerned, most people are idiots until their 40s. You know, like, people, maturation is not a straight line. Everybody starts in a different place. I feel extremely fortunate to have grown up in the environment I did, because I learned this stuff relatively early. But still, Members of my family did the exact same thing. And you couldn't always say something, because then you were ostracized and mocked and shamed.
Okay, Hafiz Noorani, what we're talking about, Mr. Genie, is what do you feel about our prime minister now after seeing those images?
Look, Justin Trudeau has this habit of falling into these situations where he looks like an idiot. And that's what I think of. Do I think he's racist? No. Do I think that what he did was uncalled for? Absolutely. But I also am not quick to judge people that, you know, paint themselves up in a costume. I'm looking at this picture, and it's a picture where I see everyone else in that audience enjoying this moment. And you know, the guys at Candleland posted more pictures from this event, and there's people with turbans, Punjabi people, standing beside Justin Trudeau taking this picture. So, I mean, when I look at this, I try to look at it from the historical perspective of that time.
I mean, I imagine that him being a teacher might have been an influencer as to whether these kids felt like they could say that they were uncomfortable. But
why didn't one of his peers say they were uncomfortable?
Because, and we will get to that, times change. And
this is it. In 2001, I was in high school in 2001. I graduated 2001. There was, and keep in mind, this event took place in April 2001. So September 11th is not even in people's minds right now. And you're talking about a world where, you know, a character like Apu, which is sort of a white person's perception of a brown Indian person, is perfectly normal and accepted universally by everyone. So, I mean, I know the blackface issues that he had in the past, like especially in high school and the other one in the 90s, those I have a little bit more of an issue with than I do the brown face, because I'll be honest, I'll think back to 2001. I'll think back to the Halloween parties around that time. That was not frowned upon then. It's frowned upon now because we have 2019 eyes and we've grown as a society.
Okay. Does the context of the times, is it relevant? Is it relevant that at the time that this photo was taken, Justin Trudeau would have been raised on movies such as C. Thomas Howell in Soul Man, which was a comedy by a major studio, where in order to get college admission as a minority student, he put makeup on his face and put on an Afro wig and was passing himself off as a black person.
So he was all Rachel Dozolai.
Yes. This was a comedy, okay, back then. People went to see this and laughed. And if you see the reviews were glowing. That's what he would have grown up on. So does the context of the times, is the context of the times relevant when judging this picture and Mr. Trudeau? Noor?
I mean, that's a really interesting question, because like I said, I don't remember a time where brownface or blackface was okay, but you have to look at it from the perspective. I mean, I'm Arab and I'm Muslim and I have a very different viewpoint than the people at the party with Trudeau. And, you know, I've never watched that movie. I think that movie is also a product of white privilege. Whoever signed off, whoever wrote it, acted, studio that signed off, didn't even pass it by one person of color to be like, hey, is this okay? I think that we are way more, you know, we live in a culture now in 2019 where we ask ourselves these questions a lot more than we did back then. But I will say, you know, because I was also young once, you know, and I started comedy 7 years ago, and I would write jokes that I wouldn't be proud saying now. So on one hand, it's not acceptable, but I also do believe on the other hand that people make mistakes and they learn and they grow. And I don't know that the severity is the same with my metaphor, because, you know, I'm just like going up and telling jokes, whereas this one person is, you know, dressing up in literal brown face. But I do think that people make mistakes when they're young, and that if they're able to learn from them, apologize, educate themselves, educate their community, be better role models. I mean, I hope that's what can happen, because it it just makes for a better world. And it's what I envision, you know, our future to be, is that we can all learn from these mistakes and arrive at a point that's better than where we are now.
But if, can we learn from the mistakes if, when the mistake is brought forward and somebody apologizes, we continue to treat them as if they didn't apologize, or just that the transgression was so bad that the apology is just not enough?
I agree with that. So there has to be consequences. Unfortunately, so many of the things that we see today have no consequences. You see Trump say horrible after horrible thing, and he's still president. Nothing you read in the news now is like, every time, like for the past 3 years, every time I read a headline, okay, this is the thing that's going to get him impeached. No, this is the thing. And today I read that article about the whistleblower, something with the Intelligence Committee. And I'm like, maybe I've stopped hoping. That's, so I do think that we need to see people being reprimanded for their bad actions.
But is there forgiveness? Should there be forgiveness?
I believe there is forgiveness. If someone apologizes and says, here's the thing, I do believe Justin Trudeau's apology more than I believe any conservative person, like anyone running in the Conservative Party with their apology, I believe Justin Trudeau more.
Why? Why?
Because Andrew Scheer is saying that. He's like, oh, if someone messed up and they apologize, it's okay. Because he doesn't care. He doesn't care what they said. He just wants people to vote for them.
Okay, but Scheer aside, why do you believe Justin Trudeau? Why do you believe that his apology was sincere?
Because of his track record, who he picked in his cabinet, the issues he... Even if, let's say, he is not... Even if he is deep down a racist, every action he's done, besides these brown and blackface photos, has been towards helping immigrants come to Canada, making his cabinet full, half women. Like, even if he's doing this just for show, so what? It's been better for Canada. So
okay, good place to leave it there.
I have kind of a flip side response to this. Is kind of a unique, you know, accident of my where I grew up.
Go ahead.
I can add here. Yes. I can relate to the people who are extremely angry and hurt right now and are having trouble get past this. And ironically, it's because of my own reactions to something Jagmeet Singh did back in 2017. He said, in response to a question from a journalist, that he did not know who was responsible for the Air India Flight 182 bombing. And one of my best friends at the time was on that plane. She died at the age of 7. I was 6 years old. And that was a tribal thing on Jagmeet Singh's part. He deflected accusing the reporter of racism. Now, the reporter happens to be one of the biggest experts in the press on Air India 182, Flight 182. And he knew that Jagmeet Singh was propping up or associating with a specific group that was lionizing the mastermind of this attack. And two different inquiries into this bombing indicated that it was a particular group of Sikh separatist extremists that were responsible from the bombing. They wanted to lash out at India because of disputes over a Sikh homeland.
Okay.
And I was hurt. I was angry. And he eventually walked it back. He says now he does accept the outcomes of the of the inquiries, but it took him a very long time and he never quite apologized for it. And I compare that and I compare Scheer's refusal to apologize for statements about gay people in 2005. And then I look at how Trudeau handled this, and Trudeau at least seems sincere. And I hope he doesn't backpedal. I hope he doesn't stop the apologizing. He just has to apologize, apologize, apologize again, apologize some more, lather, rinse, repeat. He has to Hugh Grant this. You know, Hugh Grant got caught with that prostitute and he just went on an apology tour. That's what he has to do. And as long as he continues to do that, I will see him in a better light than the other leaders, because at least he's owning his mistakes instead of trying to dodge them.
That's absolutely okay. It. That's my position on that. Like,
go on, Hafiz. Go on.
Look, we're putting a lot of people up front and making them face the reality of their actions in the past. And right now we've just compared Jagmeet Singh, who took time and then turned around and apologized. And as an Indian, that understands the issue of Sikh separatism, that was a really touchy subject all across, right? Like, even today, there are questions about his support, but still we forgive him, and he's a National Party leader. Justin Trudeau apologized instantly. Andrew Scheer still hasn't apologized. He still hasn't apologized for Michael Cooper, and he still supports people that bring up issues that are dog whistles against people of color. And at the end of the day, no Liberal Party candidate has put forward an issue like, what's it called? Tip lines for bizarre cultural
barbaric
cultural practices.
Yes.
No one's put up an argument where, you know, they try to separate Canadians or immigrant Canadians from passports because of legal issues. And at the end of the day, these things that we face in the real world are the tropes that that people like myself have to wear that are put on by conservative media. Like,
okay, let's just stop it there.
Yeah.
Okay. Justine Gallo, should... The times that something occurred be relevant when we're judging them through eyes two decades later? Should the fact that certain things were seen as okay back then count when we're assessing?
I really have to challenge the fact that this was okay back then. Sorry to interrupt, Stephen, but I don't want Justine to be set up to kind of a awkward question. Where I went to school, this was not okay. Okay, maybe in the privileged private school circles, it was okay, but I just want to make it clear, universally across the board, this was not okay in 2001.
Oh no, it was definitely not okay in 2001. I was actually in the university and I was doing my PDP at that time. So I was becoming a teacher. I was a student teaching at that time in the Vancouver public school system. And West Point Grey is not a public school, it is a private school. And like, and you're right, Liana, it's not, you know, in public school systems, especially in multicultural communities, that would never happen. I was a token. I grew up in a very suburban white community. And stuff was said back in those days that you could never get away with these days. Like, you can never, never get away with them. I think I have to look at somebody's body of work in total. I can't just look at 2001 and judge him completely on that, because as a person of color, as an immigrant in Canada, for me, he's kind of championed a lot of things that a lot of us, you know, really wanted somebody who is in leadership to do. And it was great to see. However, I am angry about it. I really am. Like, people think, oh, you're going to give him a pass. No, I'm not. I am a liberal. I am a card-carrying liberal. I am angry that this happened and this came out, and I wish they kind of brought it up long before this came out today. Like, they should have, you know, in 2015, where did they not curb this, right? But at the same time, like I said, look at somebody's whole entire body of work. There's nothing that he's done in the last 4 years that screams racist.
Actually, screams, I think, the opposite.
Yeah.
I would like to say that I hear everyone's opinions. And I understand that in 2001, it was not universally okay for somebody to darken their skin, what's being called brown face.
Actually,
now.
Can I add something to this that's very sure. ironic? In about that time in 2001, I was just getting on TV, kind of. It was a little later after that. I was pressured to darken my skin for cameras. I was too pale. So I was experiencing the exact opposite. I had to use all these crappy sunless tanner products. And now I'm afraid that people are going to find those photos where I did like fantasy calendar photo shoots and things like that and think it's the same thing. I didn't use the tanning products by choice. There was intense pressure. Me and Rachel Perry, who was a Much Music VJ at the time, we kept being told we were too pale, get a tan. And okay. I'm not capable of tanning. So it was a weird time that way.
But I think there's a difference between getting a tan and dressing up for a party and three times in blackface. Like, I don't think you had the intent of, you are a woman and you were at your work and you were being pressured to do something that would have made you look better for a camera. I'm not saying that, like, first of all, I'm not saying it was right because you were pressured into doing something you didn't want to do or, you know, but I do think that it's a different situation. And I think anyone listening to what you just said is going to be able to distinguish that from what we're seeing right now.
Oh, like what I'm referring to specifically is at the time I did like an I Dream of Jeannie inspired photo shoot. And so if somebody finds that photo and, oh, she darkened her skin to play a genie. No, I didn't. If they compare me to now, yes, I look darker in that photo, but that wasn't why I did it. Intent does matter. I don't think Justin Trudeau has the same defense. The only mitigating factor I do see in this is that he got up on stage at his school and it was not just permitted. It was put in a school newsletter. He was praised. He was rewarded.
See, this is the point that I was trying to make earlier, which is that in some circles, this was not seen as abnormal or evil or racist, because I think that those people who were applauding wouldn't have considered themselves to be racist. You have an example, Liana, of somebody who was a video game titan who was denied an honor he deserved because of the culture that he had in his business in the 1970s, which was not uncommon in the 1970s.
You're talking about Nolan Bushnell, who was the founder of Atari.
That's right. He was denied an award that he's a pioneer, Space Invaders and so on.
I have to add some information to the Nolan Bushnell story. Nolan Bushnell was hiring women to work at a video game company in the 1970s, including a woman who didn't speak English at the time. She was French. Her father was a casino magnate. She knew a lot about slot machines. So he hired her to come in and basically apply things they'd learned in casinos to get these coin-operated video game machines in bars and pinball arcades, things like that. He thought outside the box. He hired women. His director of market research was a woman.
And he was denied an honor because back in the 70s, they had hot tub parties connected to the company, which if you lived in the 70s, lots of people did, but people were looking at him through the eyes of today. How do we go about blaming individuals for the society that they grew up in, the era that they grew up in, and the messaging that they received at the time as to what was okay and what was not okay? I want to ask, is there anybody here on the panel that 20 years ago, I don't know, some of your ages, you might have been in diapers. Have you never made a mistake in the past that you would really like to not have come forward now because your opinions have changed so much? Is there anyone here who can honestly say that they've lived such a good life, such a pure life, that they never made a mistake that if they look, you look at it now through society's eyes, you realize that was embarrassing and it was wrong and I should have known it was wrong at the time, but the times didn't tell me it was wrong. Is there anybody here who can say that they don't have any of those moments? Yes, exactly.
I don't think that's kind of the point that non-disingenuous Trudeau critics have though, Stephen. The point is, his whole campaign has had this luster of, in the minds of the people that have this criticism. I'm not saying I agree. I'm just trying to get a well-rounded diversity of opinions here. Because you dismiss these criticisms as disingenuous, and I don't think that's true all of the time. There are people who, for instance, were very upset that he singled out gamers for sexism or video games for sexism. It was an unfair, low-blow shot. And he's got a laundry list of things like that, of where the appearance was he was looking down at people who weren't as worldly or weren't as wise. And I think the issue for those people is, you look down on me with this in your past? I think that precisely what you're saying was the criticism that people had of Trudeau up until this point, and I think he is going to have to address that.
Okay, Noor has to leave. She told us before we started that she couldn't be with us the whole time. We will continue talking, but Noor, final thoughts on where this is going to go. Where do you think this is going to go? Do you think this is going to affect many people? And how do you think, though, this is an impossible question, how do you think people in your community, because it was your community that was being lampooned, if you will, people from the Middle East, do you think your community will forgive this and accept the apology? Or does this sting too much?
It's muted on her end.
Well, that is a really great question. The first is, you look at people from my community. I mean, I think the Liberal Party and the NDP are, you know, when we think of voting, those are the two we think of. We don't even consider the Conservatives and whatever Maxime Bernier is ranting about. So when you ask me that, I have to look at the two options in front of me. And I say, okay, what do both candidates want to do for me? What have they done for me? And who should I vote for? And it's a very intricate question. The thing is, it's so close to the election. The timing of this is so bad that I do think it's going to affect people voting for Trudeau. And I think it comes on top of not just this, but everything we've been hearing the past year with the ethics commissioner, SNC-Lavalin, like, it just feels like it's one thing after the other. He hasn't done the electoral reform he's promised. I just think this comes as another blow to Trudeau's already broken image. But then again, as an immigrant, he's done well for other immigrants. When Ramadan or Eid happened, he wishes Muslims Ramadan Mubarak and Eid Mubarak, and he reaches out to our communities. He attends a lot of the events we invite him to. So I don't know. I feel like this is something we're just going to have to think of how we feel over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks and see how it also unfolds. Like, he's apologized now. Is something else going to happen between now and then? So I just think it's, to be honest, it's all up in the air.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I hope we can have you back on other panels.
I'd love to.
Okay, great. This is Noor Hadidi, a stand-up comic. I recommend that if she's playing in your neighborhood, go see her. Because she's using comedy for what comedy, I think, it should be. Comedy is politics by other means. And
Can I plug a show that I'm actually producing? It's called Being Muslim in Canada, a comedy show. It's a lineup of all Muslim comedians at the Theatre Centre on October 1st in Toronto. And everyone's going to be in brown face, but that's just because we were born that way.
Okay.
Is there a website for that, Noor?
It's on the Theatre Centre website.
Okay. But thank you for joining us. I know you got to go. Go. I don't want to keep you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Noor Hadidi. We talk about the fact that this was 2001 and people in the audience at that school, that private school, didn't think that what Justin Trudeau did with the makeup was something that disturbed them. They found it entertaining, and we say, wow, what a bunch of out-of-touch elitists. Jump forward a couple decades, and how do you explain Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder playing a black man?
But that was deliberately offensive.
So it's okay if the person is calling attention to the fact that what they're doing is offensive, as opposed to trying to pass it off as good, clean fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, parody has to be protected. You know, we can't bubble wrap life and have people be, you know, shielded from anything uncomfortable. And the whole Robert Downey Jr. Tropic Thunder thing was that he was this method actor who believed himself to be so deep, but he dropped things like the R word and he was very cynical. And it was a real lampoon of Hollywood wokeness. I mean, you can't compare the two things.
So context matters when you're talking about putting on makeup that changes your ethnicity.
Well, when you're intending to offend and the point is that it's offensive, that's different than if, like, oh, you just thought it was funny joke and didn't realize that you were doing something racist.
Now, Hafiz, earlier when I mentioned that blackface and brownface had a completely different history, you said something. I just want to let people know that blackface is something that goes back to the early in the last century, when black people weren't allowed to perform their own music in these music halls. So white people did it, and they put on black makeup, which was demeaning because they usually exaggerated the lip area and around the eyes, and they depicted the black person as being dim. It was something that was insulting, and it was something that has a particular history. And you look at that and you see that and you see somebody trying to do a minstrel show now and you say, okay, there's a particular history here that goes back, and there's layers and layers of damage from that. Whereas the first time I ever heard the term brownface was yesterday. Hafiz, are you familiar with brown face? I mean, you have a brown face. So, yes. So, have you ever heard of this term brown face before yesterday?
If I remember back to living in the Middle East, and they used to jokingly, like, my dad worked at a five-star hotel, and majority of the guys that, you know, came for worked there that were in upper management were white guys, and they would dress up those guys in brown face sometimes, and it was so they'd fit in, like, as if a joke. So it really is a strange cultural thing, because when you look at blackface is specifically insulting. It's designed to insult the person that is black historically, in a context where they are dumb and stupid, like you said. Brownface, even if you look at what Trudeau is doing, the guy wants to be Aladdin. I don't see these tropes of where people put on these garments to insult brown people. Blackface has always been an issue in our modern era. Brownface isn't. I don't see this as a thing that has, you know, plagued my culture.
Okay, and I think it's important to go to Justine now.
Yeah.
About this point, because Justine, you are is Filipina the correct term?
Yeah, Filipina, Southeast Asian. It's fine. It's all good. I think in general, in terms of Western culture, we've stereotyped so many other, you know, different ethnicities poorly over the years. And, you know, what Justin Trudeau did in 2001 was a very, very poor portrayal of Aladdin. Like, I know he loves to dress up and he loves Halloween and all those things, but you can't take it too far.
Look, I think if you showed this to someone in the Middle East today, they would laugh at what they thought. And the thing is, white society and Canadian white society is a little bit more touchy than the rest of the world. They have real issues to deal with in race, not some dude wearing a freaking Aladdin costume.
Finally, to just close this off, I don't know how any of you were gonna vote, but let me ask you one by one, has this photograph and that earlier video of the banana boat song, is that gonna change the way you cast your ballot? Leanna?
Well, no, because I was already angry at Jagmeet Singh and trying to get over it. And I'm still angry at Andrew Scheer for the LGBTQ stuff. So this means I'm just angry at Justin Trudeau, but I don't think I'm as angry at him as, I mean, my writing's going to go conservative anyway, so my vote doesn't really matter.
Votes matter.
But you know what I mean? Like, I can't swing a vote. I'm not in one of those swing writings. But
you can swing one person, though. We can all swing one person.
I guess, but I just sort of, I'm looking at it in the greater context. I always thought his people kind sunshine and puppies image was bullshit. So I'm kind of glad that we're going back to the guy who dropped the F-bomb in the House of Commons. And I mean, Justin Trudeau just has to stay away from wearing turbans. Every time he does, it's bad. You know, the India thing, this thing, like, just stop Justin Trudeau. But okay. Like, I...
But it hasn't changed your vote.
Well, because I don't vote based on outrage and I don't vote based on scandal. I vote based on who people are today. And I just look at the way that he handled this compared to the way Jagmeet Singh took way too long to correct himself. And Andrew Scheer still won't apologize. And Elizabeth May messed up the history of Dunkirk recently, right after I kind of played devil's advocate for her. She proved Hafiz's point from a few podcasts ago. She's a dingbat. So there you go. You know, you have to judge people in their totality based on who they are today. I am very happy to live in a country where someone can be an insufferable rich asshole in 2001 and be a completely different person in 2019. I think that's a real testament to Canada.
Well, I always like to say that if you look back 10 years and you don't cringe at some of the mistakes you made, you're still making those mistakes. Justine Gallo, has this event changed your voting intentions?
No, I don't think so. Jagmeet is actually my MP. I live in Burnaby South. So it's not so much the air in, like, for me, it's just policy. And my
policy?
My life has improved in the last 4 years. Like, it really, really has.
Don't get me wrong. If Jagmeet's platform was amazing, I wouldn't care about what he said about that. It's mm-hmm. just, you know.
And that's the thing. It's like, there's not enough there. I'd like to see more from him, actually, to be honest.
To be honest, the reason I interrupted you and said policy is because where the hell in this election campaign has there been a discussion of policy?
And that's the problem. And
where's the discussion of healthcare, the challenges of an aging population, environment?
Been doing it here. We've been doing it on the FU network.
Yeah, but you know what? We're not the entire country, and we're not leaders of political parties who should be talking about issues instead of this schoolyard shit that's been going on. Yeah. Hafiz Narani, is this going to change your vote?
Hell no. I was with Justin Trudeau before this and standing with him after this. At the end of the day, I feel as though the conservative media out there feel threatened by people like me and put out content to vilify people like me and where I come from. So I'm going to stand with the guy that maybe wore a turban once and painted his face brown because he wants to be one of us.
Justin Trudeau secretly wants to be South Asian.
Hey, man, once you go brown, you never frown.
Well, wow. His father did bring shawarma to Montreal.
There you go. And look how happy Montreal must be with the shawarma.
All right.
And now we have the Avengers.
As to wrap it up, my vote hasn't changed because I look back to geez, 10 years ago, even, I was telling jokes that I thought were funny, edgy at the time, that now I look at and say, no, you know what? That wasn't right. If you're, if anyone says, hey, are you referring to the hot tub on Ed and Red's night party? No, I stand behind that. And one day I'll tell you why.
See, but I think back to those exact same times and go, I was the unpopular one in the writer's room constantly going, we shouldn't do this, and how miserable that was.
Well, you were ahead of your time.
But God, it was awful. Like, I understand why people bow to this stuff, because it really sucked back then.
Well, it did, and I just wouldn't want to be judged based on something stupid I did in high school, especially when times were considered different, when societal mores were considered different. I wouldn't want to be judged by what I did in high school, because you know what? Quite frankly, in high school, I was quite an asshole.
Try being a woman and having your ass all over the internet. That's real fun. Let me tell you, I am judged.
Okay. Yes, you are judged in that way. And that ties in with what I'm saying. You don't want to be judged for that, and you shouldn't be judged for that.
But I
don't want to be judged for mistakes I made in the past that I've done corrective things for. And I think there has to be a place in this world of outrage for forgiveness, for and not just somebody saying they're sorry, but take a look and see, have they acted sorry? Have they reversed themselves? Have they changed things? Because what we're talking about, we've been hearing about blackface and we've been hearing about brownface. But what I've been seeing a lot of on the internet is outrage face, which is, I think, a lot of white people who think that they can somehow exorcise their demons, their guilt of the shit they were doing back then by being exceptionally critical of Justin Trudeau now. And you see outrage face on the conservative side, because that just helps serve their cause. So this is not changed my vote. And it doesn't seem like it's changed anybody's vote. And so let's wrap it up there.
I will say, I don't think it's changed anybody's vote. It has made people less enthusiastic about voting. And that means a lot of people may not vote.
That is true. And that is an issue. And you know what? I like Justin Trudeau better as the guy who has screwed up in the past than I do the guy with the halo.
Yep.
I like Justin Trudeau, who beat the crap out of Patrick Brazeau, better than I like the Justin Trudeau who says people kind. Okay.
No,
I like
it.
The Justin Trudeau who I can relate to as a human being and not someone who's presented to me as the paragon of what the ideal male is today. I like him better because he's apologized, and I say, hey, you know what? You don't make me feel quite so bad about myself, because you made mistakes too. And there may be other guys out there who are failing the same thing, who hated Justin Trudeau before because he was intimidating in his deifying, or in how he was deified in the halo around him. But now that we know that, hey, he's just another guy who screwed up and, you know, used some bad judgment with SNC-Lavalin, there may be some guys out there who hated Justin Trudeau before who now say, maybe I can relate to the guy a little bit more.
Oh, no, that's not how people work.
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say that. I've seen a lot of conservative commentators come out and actually support Justin Trudeau on this.
Interesting.
I think what might be weird is all those people that thought maybe Justin Trudeau was so judgmental of them being racist or something like that, just for maybe having bad views in the past, may now actually see a little bit of themselves in Justin Trudeau and maybe see how they should respond to a situation like this and how forgiving society can be.
Especially really interesting, because my experience was reading Robin Urquhart on CBC News completely moralizing about how terrible Trudeau is in this matter, and she actually used the turn of phrase curry favor.
All right.
And I'm like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Must tweet. This is too absurd.
Okay. And that's a good place to end it. Justine Gallo, thank you for joining us on your first panel. I hope that we'll have you back again.
I hope so too. It was fun.
Great. Leanna, thank you for being here. Hafiz, thank you for eventually joining us.
Hey, and, it's time to get here. I'm on West Coast time.
Oh, that's right. And
yes, Justine was on time.
Look, your messenger guy gave me the wrong time. So rub the lamp at the right time and the genie will show.
Hey, but I admitted Hafiz was right this week, so he redeemed himself.
Yes, thank you.
If I make a reference to you getting here late on a flying carpet, is that racist?
No, not at all. Okay. I actually need that flight carpet.
Thank you all for joining us here on the No Bullpen on Fun, the FU Networks, FU Politics. Please help us out. We're hoping to get some sponsors soon, but in the meantime, we got to keep the lights on. And you guys seem to be enjoying us because you're downloading us enough to put us in the top five on iTunes. Help us out, patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. Or if you just want to drop in some dough, help us out by going to PayPal. It's FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Leanna Kersner can be found at RedLeannaK, as well as her YouTube channel and her Facebook, which are under her name. Hafiz Narani is at Feezy Does It on Twitter. And Justine, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as A View From Abroad.
A View From Abroad. Okay. Thank you all. Thank the panel. And thank you for listening. This has been the No Bullpen on FU Politics.
This is Fun, the FU Network.